Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And as we would pray to the Lord, we would ask Him to be with us this morning. Father, we humbly recognize Your presence among us, that You Yourself have come down, that, Father, You use a channel, a conduit to bring our attention to Your presence. And because You're the invisible God, and there's no way that we could have known that You're here outside of a declaration going forth from Your prophet. And Father, we thank You for that, and we recognize, Lord, that faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And so, therefore, You use the instrumentality, Father, of a man to speak in a conduit, a channel, Lord, to deliver to us a message of grace, and a message that would declare You and who You are and all about You and Your presence among us. And Father, we know that You have appeared, Lord, in that great shout in this hour, the getting us ready for the coming. And so, Father, we ask now that You would help us, Lord, to better understand what is taking place in this day and what is taking place continuously, Lord, through Your conduit, Your channel of Your Word. And we pray, Father, that You would bring us into subjection, Lord, to the things which You would have us to do, and that You would meet our expectations, Father, and even give us the expectations that You might meet them. For we know that before we even ask, You answer our prayers, and You, many times we, within minutes and moments after we pray, Father, the answer's already laying right there. And Father, we realize that sometimes these answers take days and months and maybe even years to come. So it's as if, Father, our eyes were beholden from the fulfillment of Your promise, but then You place it upon our heart to ask, and we do ask, and scales are removed from our eyes, and we see the answer just laying right there. So, Father, we ask that You would bless us now as we would approach Thy Word with reverence and godly fear, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning we're going to continue again. This will be paragraph 177 we're going to focus upon this morning. In fact, just the we'll read the entire paragraph, but we're going to focus on basically the first sentence or two. And as we read, Brother Branham says, "Now, if I be God's servant and have told you the truth, then God will vindicate that to be the truth. And that would prove that Jesus Christ is a living today, tonight. He's standing here. Is that right? Now, you have faith just one side at a time, one side." He says, "You have faith out there. And I'd better stay at the microphone here because that they can't hear me. But somebody just look up to God and say, 'God, that man don't know me. He knows nothing about me. I'm a perfect stranger to him. But let my faith touch You, Lord. And You know what's the matter with me, Lord, and You know all about me. And You know who I am, the same as You knew who Peter was, and same as You knew Nathaniel, and as You knew what was wrong with the woman with the blood issue. And this man tells me that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then, Lord, let my faith touch You. And if He'll do that, and if Al be prove Himself here, how many of you will believe Him with all your heart? If He'll do it, it at least one or two or three people for a witness. God bless you." Now, at first reading, it wouldn't seem like there's a whole lot of, you know, thought here doctrinally or whatever, just that Brother Branham is preparing the line. And but the fact of it is that he's talking about a conduit. I want you to notice that how Brother Branham is actually teaching here as he's talking to the people. He's teaching the people here how to have faith and how to place that faith in God through a channel or through a conduit for their own healing. In other words, he is instructing the people through this dialogue that they must go to God and say, "Okay, God, I know You that You know me. So to show me that You hear my prayer, use this man here and reflect Yourself through this man so that I can get my answers that I need." Now, that's really the right way to channel with God, or right way to pray with God. Not, "God, you know, some great miracle that'll drop down out of the sky," but, "God, use somebody, because God uses man." How many of you hear the old expression, you know, angels, Paul talked about how that, he said, "Do not fear to entertain angels unawares." You know, sometimes God uses people to give you the answer that you're looking for. I remember years ago, and some of you know this story, I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, years ago in 1978 or so, I was on my way out to Rapid City, South Dakota. And I was just driving all by myself, and it was about a 12-hour trip out there. And as I was going out, I got hungry. I thought I'd stop in at a little
restaurant along the side of the road. It was basically just a little stop, and there was nothing in the town. It was a town that you could blink. If you're driving about 60, 65, you could blink and miss it. And it was in South Dakota someplace. I don't remember exactly where. But I stopped in and just to get a hamburger, and it was kind of like something you'd see out of one of these old Alfred Hitchcock movies, you know, out in the middle of the desert someplace. And I stopped in there, and there were just a few guys sitting at a bar, and they were talking about the drought and how they hadn't had any rain. And so I ordered my hamburger, and I waited for the gal to cook it, and after I got it, I ate and got up, and I went over to those fellas, and after I paid my bill, I said, you'll have your rain. And I just walked out the door, and I don't know why I said it, but I just felt led to say it. So I said it. I said, you'll have your rain. So I walked out, and I got in my car, and as I drive down the road, less than 5 minutes down the road, it started raining. And it was incredible to realize, I recognized right then, that somehow I must have been an angel unawares. God used me, just a vessel, a servant, a conduit of some sort, to deliver a message to these people. And I'm sure that when they started hearing the pitter-patter on that tin roof, you know, that they must have recognized, you know, that there was something strange that had just taken place. Amen. So what we're going to look at this morning is the fact that Brother Branham is standing here, and he says, now, if I be God's servant and have told you the truth, God will vindicate that to be the truth, and that would prove that Jesus Christ is living tonight, standing here. But then he says, now, he says, I want you people to pray. You know, God, that man don't know me, but you know me. And so just to prove that you're here, use that man. Use that conduit. And so Brother Branham is actually teaching us about a conduit. He's actually dialoguing with the people and showing them how that they must use, how they must go to God and use the conduit that God has given them. First of all, he says, now if I be God's servant and have told you the truth, God will vindicate that to be the truth. Now, you know, there's so much in that statement alone by itself that you can take several sermons and perhaps an entire book just showing how that God's way of doing things is Amos 3 and 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing except He reveal it through His servants the prophets. Secondly, Brother Branham says, continues by saying, and that would prove that Jesus Christ is a living tonight, that He's standing here. Again, this statement has so much depth that we could take hundreds of sermons on it, as we already have, and we could not only write a book on it, but as we have already written three books on it, that He's here living among His people. And remember the prefix A, when He says He's here a living among His people, the prefix A means continuously. So we see that this a living among the people speaks of a continuation. And remember, He said, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. And also we know that Brother Brown said the pillar of fire is here to lead us into the millennium. From the third Exodus, He said, but this time, glory to God, the pillar of fire that we see among us, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium, where we will return to His people in that great, or well, He will return to His people in that great millennial reign after this Exodus, where we live eternally with Him. He always has the word of the Father, always proves that it's right. We are in an Exodus, and I'm leaving and turning the tapes off in a moment. Oh, my friends, my brothers, both present, and that will hear the tapes, let me say as your brother and citizen of the kingdom of God, come out in this Exodus. For all that's left behind will bear the mark of the beast. Come out of Babylon, come out of this confusion, come out of these systems and serve the living God, and let this great angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ, in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, He's a pillar of fire in the same form that He was back there, bringing that first Exodus, bringing the second Exodus, and here He is with the third Exodus. The first Exodus, what did He do? He brought them out of a natural land to a natural land. The second Exodus, He brought them out from a spiritual condition into a spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now He's bringing them from a spiritual baptism of the Holy Spirit right back into the eternal land of the millennium and the great hereafter. The same pillar of fire by the same anointed system, the same God doing the same things, and the same word declared the first one has declared the second one, and the same word declared the second one has declared the third one. And here we see it among us, come out, come out of this chaos, come to the living God, come to the Word, and to the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and now He's in our flesh, dwelling among us. Come out and serve the living God while we bow our heads. Now, that is a quote from the third Exodus, letting us know that as the pillar of fire was here, and He did certain things in the first Exodus, second Exodus, and now in the third Exodus, but notice how He says, He puts it down to a conduit, and He says, now He is in our flesh. Now, the third point that I want to call your attention to is that Brother Branham is showing here that God uses a certain channel to let us know that He is here. And notice the words that Brother Brown uses here to bring this forth. He says, somebody just look up to God and say, God, that man. Well, who's he talking about? That man. He's talking about the channel. You see? God, that man. He. Who's that again? That's the channel, William Branham. He knows nothing about me. I'm a perfect stranger to him. Who? That's the channel, the conduit. But let my faith touch you, Lord. In other words, let's not look at the conduit, but let's go directly to you, Lord. But then for your answer, I do need a conduit.
Amen.
You see, I can talk directly to the Lord, but then I need a conduit. All right? Now, and you know what's the matter with me, Lord? You know what's all about me. You know who I am, the same as you know who Peter was and Nathaniel. As you know what was wrong with that woman with the blood issue. But this man, and this man, now who's the man again? He's who? The conduit. The channel, okay? He tells me that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then, Lord, let my faith touch you, and if he'll do that, now Brother Bram is referring to God here, if God will do that, and infallibly prove himself here, how many of you will believe him, God, with all your heart, if he'll do it, at least one or two or three people for a witness, God bless you. Now, I'll never forget, years ago, I was talking with Brother Vail on the Godhead. And I said to him, Brother Vail, when the Scripture says God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, could we say that God was in Christ, and Christ was in the man Jesus? And he said, Brian, he said, do you want to go crazy? He said, get your eyes off the vessel. He said, I don't care if it was the pillar of fire or the burning bush or the cloud that followed the children in the wilderness or the rock that the Bible said was called Christ. I don't care what the vessel was. It's not the vessel that we should be focusing on, but God that uses the vessel. It wasn't the vessel that did those things that brought forth the water and all. It was God who did those things. And so I learned an important principle. And I know that this principle is true, and the principle is right with the Scripture, because Jesus himself said the same thing. He said, if you don't believe me, the vessel that God is using, then believe me for the very work's sake.
Amen.
Because there is a greater witness than I, the vessel. And that witness is my Father that dwelleth in me. He it is that doeth the works. If you turn with me to John chapter 10 and verse 37. Notice he said, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. That you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. In other words, if you see the works there, then believe what's being said about those works. He said, you might not care too much for the vessel. You might not care too much for the conduit. But he said, then believe the one who sent the conduit. In John 14 and verse 10 we read, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Again, I'm a vessel. I'm a conduit. It's not important what you think of me, but you better be thinking right of the things that I'm telling you, because it's not me telling you, it's God telling you.
Amen.
And he's backing it up by the things that he's doing. Therefore, I hope that we can see that we must get our eyes off the vessel that God uses if we are to recognize who it is that is doing the greater works. That is why I thought those quotes that we read were so striking a couple weeks ago. And let me, I'd like to read them again in just a moment so that we can look at them in the light of this thought on the conduit of God. You see, the conduit is not God, and yet it becomes God to the people. Brother Branham was not God. God was in the prophets, and so then the prophet becomes God to the people. In other words, when you recognize that God is working through that man, then you receive him as if you're receiving God himself. Yet, if we are truly understand the conduit, we must recognize one principal thing. The conduit is nothing without the one in that conduit doing the works. Before God came to William Branham, he was ready to kill three young boys. He was a young man himself at the time. His his life was pathetic. And I mean that in a sense, not that he was a bad person, but it was very pathetic, very poor, very impoverished, very much just a normal, impoverished young person, except for one thing. God was there watching over him. If it wasn't for God speaking to him as a young man, he would have done just the same things that the young people of his day did. He sure did try. He would have sinned the sin. He would have gone as deep into sin as anyone. You see? So that's the conduit. So get your eyes off the conduit. Get your eyes on Christ. You see? Now, from John 5:19, Jesus said, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing. For what things soever he doeth, these also the Son doeth likewise." Brother Brown couldn't even pray for the person until the hat was on the chair. You see? Now, I love Brother Branham. He's my hero. 20th century hero. But I tell you one thing, he's not my God. But I'll tell you another thing. He's my brother. Amen. And he's my older brother, but he's not my oldest brother. My oldest brother is Jesus. And he's my hero. Because Jesus, who gave the example for William Branham, was able to get himself out of the way. That God could use him as a vessel, as a conduit. Now, sometimes God may use any one of us, and sometimes he don't. The problem that we have is that we don't get ourselves out of the way like we ought to. But we need to learn to step aside and let God. One of the things I really, really appreciate when I go overseas is that the brethren are so hungry to hear from God that they look right past my white skin. And when you come to that platform, those people are hearing from God. And you are so humbled that you get yourself out of the way very easily. And God does the speaking, God does the teaching. And the people can go rejoicing. And some of the ministers, as they've written to me, they've lost all their minister friends because their friends are accusing them now of preaching two gods, and they said there's no way they're preaching two gods. But because they don't understand, and they put them into a big cast and into a little pot and label it all the same. But yet the brothers understand one thing. That's the way it's supposed to be. And because they knew up front that's the way it's going to be, they were willing to accept it when it did happen. And when they saw it happen, they realized the Word of God was manifesting all around them. And they're part of it. From John 5 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I can of mine own self do nothing." What did he say? "I can do nothing. I can't heal. I can't preach. I can't save. I can do nothing. But as I hear, I judge, I discern. And my judgment, my discernment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Now he sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth." But he's not talking about John. He says, "But I receive not testimony from man." Not from John, not from anyone. "But these things that I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. So he wasn't talking about John when he said, I bear witness not of myself. There's another that beareth witness. He's not talking about John. But these things which I say, that he might be saved. Okay, he says, but I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me, and ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. He says, you don't even know the Father. And because you don't even know the Father, I've come to declare him. No one knew the Father except the Son declare him. In John 8:26, he says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. And the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now it seems to me that every scripture I'm reading here declares the relationship between the Father and the Son. And I would venture to say, because your understanding has been pretty well gleaned over the past few years, that you can go back and read almost any verse of scripture and you can see that relationship between the Father and the Son. Well, from the unveiling of God, Brother Bram says, but then the real believer, they couldn't explain it, but they believed it anyhow. They went on through, and the veil of traditions of the unbeliever taken away, you see God. When the veil of traditions has been removed, you can see that God is still God of his word. He still keeps his word. He's the God, the author of his word, that is hid behind skin's veil, but is veiled to others. Yes, that's right. To those who cannot go behind the veil, he's still behind skin veils. Plural. Notice, then we become part of him, as you are the veil that veils him. You are a part of him as long as Christ is in you, and Christ was of God. What's the word of mean? Out from. Because God was in him, made him God. How was Jesus made God? Because God was in him. Oh, he says, how I love that. Notice what he just said. He said, because God was in him is what made him God. And as Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Now, what's the word glory mean, Dwayne? It's the Greek word doxa, and it means opinion, assessment, or judgment. And so the Christ in you, who is Christ? He's the word manifest. The word manifest in you is the hope that you will have the same opinion, judgment, and assessment that God has. He says, then it's veiled to the unbeliever. He says, you become a part of Christ as long as Christ is hid in you. Then it's veiled to the unbeliever. But you know he is in you. Your temple in Christ that's behind the veil, the skin. Then we become behind, or because of this veil, the veil again, in human flesh, hides God from the world, hides God the Word from the unbeliever. No wonder they can't take the vessel, the conduit. Because it hides God from them. It hides the Word from them because they were not meant to see it, according to Matthew 13. They see but they don't see. They hear but they don't hear. Brother Van continues, as it is written, see, written. You are written epistles, the Bible said. Now, what is epistle? It's a word written. And you are the written. In other words, you read it like this. You say, well, he say, you are written epistles, or you are the word that has been written and made manifest. Nothing can be added to it. You can't say, I'm a written epistle and then living some other kind of a something or some kind of a something, but what that has already been wrote, because nothing can be added or taken away. Now, isn't that exactly what Jesus is saying in his prayer? Matthew 17 that we went over a few weeks ago, when he's praying to the Father about you and me being one with him, even as he is one with God. You know, I get just a real kick out of these guys who are just dyed in the wool oneness. And they just can't understand the relationship between the Father and the Son. Therefore, they could never have a relationship with the Father like you and I can have a relationship with. Because they can't understand that Jesus is your brother. God is your Father. You know, they take the scripture where Philip says, "Show us the Father." And Jesus said, "Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you don't see me? When you see me, you see the Father." And they stop right there. But Jesus went on to say, what? "For the Father is in me." Hallelujah. Notice in Jesus' prayer, if we turn to John chapter 17, verse 12. He says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those who thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things that I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now, what's that all about? Well, the Bible says, "In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy." Notice Jesus knew for what reason he came to the world. And so he came and he acted out the role as God wanted him to act out the role. Now he's saying, now that these brethren of mine can see it and recognize it, now, Father, you can manifest yourself in them that they might act out the role that they've been called to do, thus receiving the same joy. He says, "I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now, I ask the question, did the world hate them before they received the word? That's not what Jesus says. He says, "They hate you because of the word." He said, "I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them." He says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Then he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, what's the word sanctification mean? Absolutely. It means separated. He's saying, "Sanctify them, separate them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, this word sanctify means to set aside for service. So he is speaking of God separating the believer from everything that is not truth. Separate them from, he says, "Separate them, Father, by thy truth, for thy word is truth." And then thy word is what separates. Now, verse 18, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me." Wow. So when you see me, you see the Father. "That they all may be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they all may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And this is made possible only by our having the same word in us that was in the Son of God. For the Father is the Word, as we heard Brother Branham say in the message unveiling of God. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them." The doxa, the opinion, the assessment, the judgment. "That they may be one," by this opinion, by this assessment, by this judgment, even as we are one. Now, from the unveiling of God, Brother Brown said, when this veil is took off the word, the traditions is taken off the word, as Jesus said once, "When you see me, you see the Father." See, God and his word is one. Now you understand? And then he went on to say, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I do the works, I and my Father are one. When you see me, you have seen the Father. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father God. Because the Word is the Father. The Word is God. And the Word was made flesh, and the Word made manifest is God Himself taking His own Word and manifesting it among believers. Now, we all know when we saw Brother Branham, and he was praying for the sick and said, "Thus saith the Lord." He wasn't saying, "Thus saith William Branham." But "thus saith the Lord." Let's take it a little bit step by step by step. When a man came in here that had gangrene in his heel, and the heel had been cut off, and he came for prayer, and a certain person laid hands on that man according to what the Father had already said, "They shall lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed." And spoke back to the Father his own words, and asked the Father to manifest his presence among us and vindicate his own presence to be among us. Did you see a man, or did you see God? Or I should say, did you see the Father? Now, I want you to think about that. Because no man can do that. It wasn't the man. It was getting yourself out of the way that God, our Father, could do the works. Jesus said, "If you love me, I will come to you," or "my Father, I and my Father will come to you and manifest ourselves to you. From show us the Father and it'll satisfy." My brother answered, "Now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time. The Bible said so, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him." Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see the Father. It says here that he said, "I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me." He said, "When you see me, you see the Father." In other words, Brother Brown goes on to say, because he wouldn't say "in other words" if he wasn't trying to explain it in other words, right? So we see here that Brother Branham is going to explain what Jesus meant when he said to Philip, he said, "When you see me, you see the Father." He said, "You see the Father express himself." In other words, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works, he was the Son himself, the immortal, virgin-born Son of God. And then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world. His attitude towards the people, see? Well, that's how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, "When you see me, you see the Father." And why do you say, "Show us the Father"? Now, just in case your thoughts may be thinking, well, you know, you're trying to make yourself something. No, absolutely not. I have absolutely no power over anything. I wish I had more power to control myself. Get up when I'm supposed to get up, get on my knees, and when I should get on my knees. And bite the tongue when I should bite the tongue. Be passive when I should be passive, active when I should be active. But we're all flawed, you know.
Corruption.
Absolutely. Since Noah, there's been no man that's perfect in his genealogy, in his generation. That's why God bypassed the sexual way to bring forth his Messiah son, and brought him forth by spoken word. But now we're going to do that one day. We won't have these bodies of corruption. We're going to have bodies of incorruptible flesh. But Brother Branham said, when you saw Jesus the Son manifesting what the Father was doing in him, you saw the Father. When you saw God descend from the heaven, stand before groups of men, as a quote from Brother Branham, you were actually seeing the conduit. Because no man can see God. Looking at a conduit and seeing the mighty God unveiled before us. From the message, he swore by himself, Brother Branham said, and God himself living in this, making a tabernacle, and he and he dwelt in Christ. There's God walking around. He said, I and my Father are one. My Father is in me. He said, show us the Father, Philip said. Show me the Father and it'll satisfy me, said Philip. He said, I've been so long with you and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why say you, show me the Father? I and my Father are one. My Father's living in me now. It's not me that doeth the works. It's Him that dwelleth in me that does the works. Oh my. From the message, Divine Healing. Thomas looked at him, or Philip rather, and he said, Lord, show us the Father. Who is this Father that you're going to? And he said, why, I've been so long with you, you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. The Father is in me. Believe that I and the Father are one, or believe me for the very work's sake that the Father is in me. It's not me that doeth the works. It's the Father that's in me doeth the works. I'm not the Holy Spirit. You're not the Holy Spirit. But if there's anything, and He's not the Holy Spirit, who's He talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He says, but those messages that He preaches was not of Him. It's the Holy Spirit in Him. Is that right? Well, some of these days this whole little old frothy frame of His is going to drop down, but His Holy Spirit and His Spirit become one. And as that Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the grave, also brings His body up in the resurrection, you see. So that's the hope that we have today. Now what's Brother Branham saying here? He said, His Holy Spirit and His Spirit become one. What is the Spirit? It's the nature of the soul. It's the life. Now let me ask you something. Why is it that people have such a hard time with believing a duality? That God was in Christ reconciling the world. You know, these same people can believe that a man could be possessed by the devil. And when a man does something that would manifest the devil's nature, they say, well, that's not the man, that's the devil. We shouldn't be mad at the man, that's the devil in that man. And yet, why can't they reverse it when God is in a man? Why do they have so much trouble with that? And let's take it one step yet further. Brother Brad said, the Logos that came out of God was a part of God. A part. In Christ, bodily, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt. But that didn't mean that God Himself, the person, was not anywhere else. You see what I'm talking about? When God entered him at Gethsemane, left him in Gethsemane, entered him in the garden, in the River Jordan, the Spirit of God descended like a dove. It was a light. That light came and abode in him. Right? Now, in our little infinite capacity, or a finite capacity, we think, okay, now God, the fullness of God, everything that was of God entered into the man, and now there's no more God out here, and yet the voice spoke from heaven. The voice was still in heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. Now come on, with our little finite minds, how are we going to disseminate that? You see, He was anointed. The Bible says, this same Jesus whom thou hast crucified, God hath made Him both Lord and Christ. God anointed Him. That means God placed His own mantle, His own spirit, His own nature, His own Godhood upon Him. Well, let's read the next quote. From Questions and Answers on the Seals, he said, now I want to ask you, that Holy Ghost that dwells within you, is that right? Do you stop Do you talk to him? Do you speak to him? Do you pray to him? All right, that's all that I want. Now, thank you very much. See? Now, do you get it? I'll ask you one. How did it come that when Jesus, in St. John 13, he said, when the Son of Man shall be, which now is in heaven, see, now is in heaven, shall come to earth, see, the Son of Man, which now is in heaven, and here he stood, right there talking to the person. Now, you answer me that. Jesus and the Father was the self-same person, just the same as the Holy Spirit in me. Is the self-same person. Because that's what he's saying, just the same. You're looking at me preaching, but it's not me. It's not me that can speak a word that could bring you, as you know, an animal. Sit there and look at it and kill it, the animal, and eat it. That's creative power. That doesn't lay in a human being.
Amen.
Again, from the next paragraph 5, he says, it's not me that can take a little boy here laying, and the doctor laying him on his back with heart trouble tonight and say, thus saith William Branham. No, thus saith the Lord. It's finished. And bring him down to the doctor the next day and it's all gone. And then a kid with leukemia till its eyes were bulged out, yellow and all over in his stomach until they take it to the hospital to give it blood and things just to get it here. And in 5 minutes' time, cry for a hamburger and take it back to the doctor the next day and can't even find a trace of it. That's thus saith William Branham. That's thus saith the Lord. Yet he is an individual different from me. Notice, he is an individual different from me, but the only way that he's expressed is through me. Well, didn't he just say a few minutes earlier that that's the same way Jesus and the Father were the self-same person, just the same as the Holy Spirit in me is the self-same person? Now he says, yet he is a different from me. A different what? He says he's an individual different from me. But the only way that he's expressed is through me. See? That's how Jesus and the Father was one. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. Now the Son of Man shall ascend from heaven, which now is in heaven. See? What is it? It was omniscient, omnipresent, because it was God, or he was God. If you walk in the light, as he is, you know, not is the light, is in the light. As he is in the light, you are fellowship one with the Father, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Now notice, God is that great light. And out of the light, it lit up, when that light came in the room, it lit up the whole room, right? Brother Bannon was talking about that. The angel came in, there was a light came in through that window. The angel stood there, he was in the light. Brother Bannon could see the angel in the light was all around the angel. He came out of that light. He stepped out of that light. So when that light is there, it lights, illuminates everything. Therefore, when you walk in the light as he is in the light, because that pillar of fire is not God, that's only a manifestation of his presence. It's a reflection of the divine Shekinah, presence of God. But see, God's invisible. That light can be seen. God can't be seen. God is a spirit nature that lays within that, that use that light to identify his presence. And if you walk in the light, when that light comes in the room, it lights up the entire room. And everything becomes clear. You can see. And the great pillar of fire that's in our midst has made the word so plain, has made the relationship between the Father and the Son so plain, that it all comes back to Godhood, God life. Jesus had it without measure. You and I have a part of it.
Amen.
But it's the same light. And we're walking in the same light as Jesus walked in. He might have been closer to the source, in that the source came into him. But it's the same source that's in you and I. Because we find in John 3:16, which everybody loves to quote, but they don't like quoting what's after that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now let's read on. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, discovered. See? But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, I want you to notice the fine distinction in these words here. Because it says, and this is the condemnation, that light, not the light, but that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, let me diagram this for you. Because notice he goes on to say, but on the other hand, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, not just to light, but the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Notice, he cometh to the light. Now, let me just show you here just a moment. This is what I'm talking about. 17, but they avoid the light, period, because it illuminates. Excuse me, that's verse 19. 3:19. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, this is 20. That's the unbeliever. He will not come into the light. He goes away from it. And he's 20. All right? For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest these be reproved. Okay, that's 19. Here's 21. 21 is the believer. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, to the light. He is illuminated by the same light, but he comes to the source. That's the presence. Presence of God, there's fullness of joy. He comes to the light. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the light. I am the life and the light. And I am the way, the truth. You see? Why? Because it was not him speaking. What's Jesus was speaking? It was the Father in him.
Amen.
The same one that was in the pillar of fire. The same one that was in Jesus. Now, notice then. Brother Master, that's thus saith William Branham. He said, that's thus saith the Lord. Yet he is an individual different from me, but the only way that he's expressed is through me. See, that's how Jesus and the Father was one. Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He that doeth the works. Now the Son of Man shall ascend from heaven, which now is in heaven. That's how God could be up here, and yet his life, through the light, through the life. Because the light and life are one and the same. You see, light brings life. Now, John 17 again, verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect, complete, mature in one. In one what? In one word. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be one, be with me where I am. Look, notice he's talking parousia, presence. He's praying for eternal presence. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, and if God gave it to him, then he did not have to begin with. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Now there is, for those who do not believe in the pre-incarnate Son of God, he said God loved him before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hateth, or the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Notice, I have declared to them thy name. So what was he known by? Jesus. So Jesus declared the name of God. And whose name was it? It was the Father's name. I came in my Father's name, and they received me not. Another will come in his own name, and they'll receive. And the more and more I understand this, the more and more I see in the very beginning a part of God spun off, a part of God called the Logos, which is the Son. A part of God. In the beginning was the Word. That's the all of God. And the Word was with God. That's the Father. And the Word was God. That's the Father. Now, if Jesus came in the Father's image, if every seed must come forth after its kind, after its nature, then Jesus would have to be the Word as well. And that's why Brother Branham said, then if you were in him, you had to be in his thoughts if you're going to be there at the end. So if you were not part of that Word, a part of the Word, to begin with, a part of God to begin with, then you'll never have eternal life. So as we begin to recognize God life, God life, God life, when Brother Brown talks of Jesus and he said he got to the place where his own spirit was so moved by God's spirit, of course that's where he got his to begin with. John was born with the Holy Ghost. That egg and cell was joined together was done by the Holy Ghost. The very nature that was in Jesus was the nature of God, and yet God had to come and anoint that flesh, didn't he? And God came to do the miracles, perform the creative acts and the changing of the water to wine and of those things. And Brother Branham said, no different with Father and Son as the Holy Ghost in me that tells me to speak that word and those squirrels are changed. Understanding the Godhead is not an easy thing, because it's a very, very deep well. But it's like an artesian well. It's bubbling up. It's so pure. But men have plunged in and have tried to swim down, to delve into the depths that they've gotten so deep, the pressures become so great, that they've lost their spiritual lives in due course. Other men, they just look at the surface. They don't even attempt to jump in, and they miss it altogether. But God hides himself in simplicity. And if God hides in simplicity, then it's in simplicity that we must find him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we would ask that you would help us, Lord, to allow that, just to get ourselves out of the way, Father, that your God life, your Holy Spirit presence in us, would take over our life and blend our spirit with your spirit until there's no recognizable difference, as people would see Jesus and they could not recognize where he was Son and where he was Father. Because he said, the words that I say are not mine. The Father taught me these things to say. The actions I do are not mine. They're the Father's. My doctrine is not mine. It's the Father's. My will is not mine. I've given it up. And Father, may we come to that place where your spirit is so blended with ours that it is completely, ours is completely just given way to your spirit. And once that takes place, we know we have immortal life. No man can take it from me, as Jesus said. I give it of myself, knowing that the Father
the life of the Father that is now in me will raise it up again. And so, Father, we just commit, Lord, our life, our godliness, our living true to your word. We commit it all back to thee and ask that you bless it. Bless your children, Father. And those that might be dull of hearing, those that may not be here at all, we pray that you would be with them, Lord, and bless them as well. And that you would take from us the resistance of prideful man. And that, Father, you would mold me and make me after thy will. For we ask it in Jesus' name, thy beloved Son.